I'd like to get your attention on 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Your adversary. Do you know you have one? You have an enemy, a great enemy, an arch enemy. So you have an enemy. And it's interesting because the word here, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the word adversary there means opponent to law. That's the meaning of the word adversary. He is your opponent, your foe, your enemy. And the word has actually the word anti. So your adversary is also anti-God, anti-law, anti-righteousness. That's the meaning of the word adversary. So you see, this is not a simple matter. It's interesting. I won't detain you on these things. We can spend hours and hours studying them. But you and me may think that the name of Satan, S-A-T-A-N, is spread all around the Bible. But you can check it for yourself later. It's until the book of Job you find the first time the name Satan. I know if I ask you, you will tell me he was there in the Garden of Eden, yeah? Yes, he was there, but not as S-A-T-A-N. And then the next time you find him, actually three times in the Old Testament. In the book of First Chronicles, he's mentioned once. And the last time he's mentioned in the Old Testament is in the book of Zechariah. And I think that's for a purpose. Satan doesn't show himself as he is. He's a tricker. He's a manipulator. So you have an enemy. And it's interesting also, I could have given you the list tonight, but that will take time. Not less than 40 designations of Satan in the Bible. So if you want, he has at least 40 names throughout the scriptures. And my dear friends, please make no mistake. The devil is real. He is a person. He is powerful. He is active. Maybe he's trying even now to deconcentrate you. So he is deadly. He is a cunning crafter. A beguiler, that's what he did to Eve in the garden. He beguiled her. And he's a planner. You know, we often say to people, God has a plan for your life. Can I tell you something tonight? God, Satan has also a plan for your life. So he's a hard-nosed destroyer. So stubborn. I could carry on with the list, but he's full of malice. He's full of falsehood. And he means business. Do you mean business? Are you taking the Christian life seriously? Oh, I think sometimes when I look at some of Christians, I traveled a bit, and when I look at some Christians, I say to myself, what are they Christian for? It's just a label. But you have an adversary. Unless you are still under his rulership. Unless he still has you under his thumb. Unless you are still in his fortress. So he won't trouble you. Oh, my brothers, my sisters. The roaring lion. That's a name. Actually, just looking at the verse now. Can I tell you all the names of Satan you find here in verse 8? Do you see them? Do you need a preacher to tell you these things? Number one, adversary. Number two, the devil. And the word devil there, we have it in English, diabolos. Or he's the agent of diabolic acts or actions. That's the word here, the devil. Then that's not all, a roaring lion. That's one of his names. But he is also mentioned here as a wanderlust, itchy feet, restless. You see, he's walking about, which means you can underline that Satan is not everywhere at the same time. He's walking about here and there and there, but his agents, he has so many agents walking about throughout the world. So you are watched, you are being watched. Yes, you are being watched by God, but your enemy is also watching you. So you better wake up and be watchful also. And then look at it, verse 8 again, another name of Satan there. He's a seeker, always seeking, non-stop seeking. And a last name there, a devourer, merciless. Will you be his dinner or lunch pack? I don't know. So you better know that you have an adversary. So the roaring lion seek out for preachers. He seek out for the weak Christian. And he seeks out also for the lonely. My brothers and sisters, can I exhort you with this? If you are a lonely Christian, you are vulnerable. Don't weaken yourself. So, always looking for the vulnerable. And he gets you because he is older than you. He's an old man. So he has more than one trick in his bag. But it would be absurd of me tonight to give too much credit to Satan. So my point, though I'm speaking to you about your adversary, yes, I speak about him because he is real, but I don't want to give him too much credit. It would be absurd, as I said. But I don't want to minimize him also, because that would be foolish. And I don't want you to be threatened by him, because that's unbelief. But to ignore him, I choose carefully every word. To ignore him is fatal and deadly. And can I go even further? If you don't believe in the reality of your adversary, the devil, I think you don't believe in Christ. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 John chapter 3 came to do what? He came to destroy the works of the devil. So don't deny him. This is not a stuffed lion for children to play with. The devil is not just a junkyard dog. He's pernicious. We must be aware of his wiles. You know the word wiles, the Greek is, we have it in English, that's why I mention it. We have to be aware of his wiles. The word is methods. He has methods. The machination of Satan, the maneuvers of Satan, so scheming. And so we cannot ignore his devices. His allurements come in glamorous fabric. You know, Satan is, you don't play with fire. He is able, we read, to disguise himself as an angel of light. Glittering allurements to attract you. He has many alternatives to make you to fall. Oh, I hope you are aware of these things. So, using swelling words of vanity. But as I said, he is a wanderlust, walketh about seeking. You know, I believe Peter knows by experience what he is talking about. Do you remember how Satan asked to sift Peter and to sift him as wheat, to make him just like chaff, nothing, just powder, ashes, unless the Lord Jesus said to Peter, I prayed for you. I prayed for you. So I don't want to detain you long, but how are we going to face this pernicious enemy? How? He is a formidable enemy. You cannot just go to him with your intellect or because you have muscles or biceps. You will be defeated. I don't promise I will get there, but just looking at the context here, I don't go anywhere out of the context. There are six things I would like you to bear in mind. And I hope my prayer, I keep saying back in our church there, that talk is cheap. I don't stand just because I like to talk. We don't stand. No preacher just stands because he loves. Yeah, I know some love to talk, but that's not our case. We want to build something. We want to be a help to you. And so six things to help you to face your formidable adversary by the help of the Lord. So we begin with verse 5. Look at verse 5. All in the text. So be clothed with humility. Do you see that in verse 5? Be clothed with humility. It's a command. And be dressed. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we have a uniform as Christians. Yeah, we are not dressed the same. In terms of clothing, in terms of the accoutrement, but we have a uniform invisible to the world. Christ is our uniform. Colossians chapter 3, Romans chapter 13, verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So who has saved you? What covers you? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, that's your daily garment. Humility, my dear friends, is a mighty weapon. You know, for the world, even for the Greeks to be humble is to be weak. Look at him. Look at her. Humble? Oh, she must be weak. He must be weak. But according to the Bible, according to our Savior Jesus Christ, Matthew 11, verse 29, humility is great power. So I need to explain these things. So gird up yourself, wrap yourself in this virtue. And humility means to have a deep reverence for God. Everything is shallow nowadays. A conscious submission to the will of God. And to do all things to please God. My dear friends, do you do all things to please God? If you do that, you are a humble person. So Peter here, I believe again, had in mind John chapter 13. You know what was happening in John chapter 13? The Lord took a towel and girded himself and washed his disciples' feet. And you know, in that culture then, a servant cannot be obliged by his master to wash his feet. He must do it voluntarily and willingly. And this is what Christ did in John chapter 13. Him, the master, put himself in the place of a willing servant. And indeed, he was a willing servant. If you don't believe me, read later Philippians chapter 2. with all the glory he had, he humbled himself so low, low, low and low to become a servant, even going to die on the cross of Calvary. And recently, this is something that often comes to my mind. Why should a king die for me? Why? But this is not our king. This is not just the king of a nation. This is not the king of an empire of this world. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, humbling himself. And we were among the people standing there in that riot, saying, "Away with him, away with him, crucify, crucify." But he was taking upon himself the penalty of your sins and my sins, if you ever believed in him. Oh, what love, what love. Do you find that love in this world? I don't think so. But I must really hurry up. We all, as you know, pump up our ego. We are all peacocks. Think about it. Pride goeth before what? Destruction. We read in the book of Proverbs. And it is interesting, among the seven abominations to God, again in the book of Proverbs, I believe Proverbs chapter 6, among those seven abominations, number one in the list, pride, a proud look. You know, the English language does it well. With the word pride, the middle letter is what? So you see, we're in trouble. Nobody is immune. I keep saying pride, you don't have to invite pride. It's already there. Inborn with it. Innate. So, put on the whole armor of God. Humility is lowliness of mind. But don't misunderstand me. Lowliness of mind doesn't mean self-pity or self-hatred. Nowhere. Self-pity is your enemy. Never fall into that. Oh, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. To be humble is to be poor in spirit. Matthew 5. I was reading about Augustine. Augustine, 4th century, he was asked, what were the three greatest virtues in life? And he said, number one, humility. And they asked him, what is number two? Number two, humility. Well, then number three. Number three, humility. So that is what we need. My dear friends, humility is a trait of love. If Christ our Savior humbled himself, don't you think we should do the same? Unless you have a high opinion about yourself, unless you feel too big or too important, unteachable. Again, I can tell you from experience, I met believers or so-called believers, they know it all, unteachable. As soon as you start, they doze. They are gone, vagabond, touring the world. They know it all. That's not a humble spirit. A humble spirit, believe me, I speak on behalf of your pastor, if that's the way to put it. I don't know one single verse of the Bible. Though we preach week after week, this is the mind of God. Who are you? Who are you? Oh yes, I read the Puritan. I met people who love more Spurgeon than Jesus. They can quote you. Oh, Spurgeon said, tell me what the Lord Jesus said. Yeah, we love Spurgeon. Yeah, no problem. But we have to be very careful. Are you teachable? Oh, I want to be teachable. The only thing to glory about, can I tell you what it is? The Bible says, Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, the cross of Calvary. That's the only thing. The only asset you have. So, proud of what? What do you have the Bible says that you have not received? Oh, I'm proud of what? I have a prowess, I have intellect, I have skills, I have abilities, I have talents, I have energy. Yes, good for you. But all those things were given to you. There is nothing to be proud of. And a proud Christian is a paradox. Please look at the, I know it's just the first heading I'm giving you, the first tool, but look at the exhortation, the reason for this first exhortation. Look at the reason in verse 5 again. So it says there, humble yourself, verse 5, and be clothed with humility, for the reason God resisted the proud, but and giveth grace to the humble. That's the reason and the promise also. Do you want God to be against you? Do you want to fight with God? Or you will be defeated? You will be crushed and smashed down? So God stands against such proud people, but he gives grace. But let me tell you, number two, we have not yet finished with humility. But number two, verse 6. Look at verse 6, because Peter comes back to humility again. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Oh, our world trains us to have a high opinion about ourselves. This is what the world is telling us. A long time ago, a young man said to me, "Why, Pastor, do you want me to be a doormat?" Yeah, be a doormat for God. The text says here, if you submit yourself in under the mighty hand of God, what will happen? He will lift you up. So, no room for self-confidence. Please allow me to tell you some of the great men in the Bible, what they said about themselves. Do you know what Abraham said? "I am but dust and ashes." A man of such caliber, will you stand close to Abraham? No, he stands head and shoulders above all. This is the father of believers. Can I tell you what Isaiah said? You know these things. "Woe unto me, a sinful man with unclean lips." And Ezra will say, "I blush to lift up my face." You know what great Job said? "I am vile." And you come to the New Testament. You remember the same Peter who wrote these words in Luke chapter 5. What did he say? "Depart from me, I am a sinner, Lord." Paul, in Romans chapter 7, what did he say? "Oh, wretched man that I am." Will you stand near Paul? No. Yes, he's a saint like you and me if you have trusted in Christ. But these men were so humble. Oh, my dear friends, clothed with humility, I'm able to put myself under God's mighty hand. You see the condition? Because I'm clothed first with humility, then second step, I'm able to be under the mighty hand. Submission. Obedience, loyalty, faithfulness. These are the things God is asking from you and me. So, humility is the cradle of all virtues. You know, humility is shy. Do you know that? It's very shy. As soon as you speak about it, it goes out of the window. And there was a man, you heard probably this, there was a man who won a medal for his humility. And what did he do when the medal was given to him? He wore it. He lost it. Humility is shy. Oh, my dear friends. Number three. And these things are precious. Verse 7, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. He is concerned. Oh, we have so many cares, anxieties, mental and health issues, temptations, unmet expectations, disappointment. People disappoint you and me. Emotional distress, persecution, fears. I have many fears. I'm a worried man. What can I do? But look at the verse again, verse 7. Each of these things could be a whole sermon. So I'm just giving a package of them. This is an invitation also. Do you see? God is inviting you. Cast in all your cares upon him. But look at the promise. For he careth for you. He's concerned for you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So we are not sent or left to face the enemy empty-handed. Please pray. This is also the meaning here. You need to pray. And lead us not into what? Temptation. But deliver us from what? From evil. So pray. It's here. Oh, my dear friends, to fight this strong enemy, we have a stronger man. Jesus Christ is a stronger man. And against the roaring lion, I have another lion. Which lion do I have? I have the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is more than conqueror. So cast your cares, all your cares, upon him. He is willing. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, he said. Learn of me, and you shall find rest. So he's ready. He's ready to take your yoke. Well fitted. But let me tell you, number four, as I look at the verses here. So number four, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant. I don't think I need to say much on this one. If you know you go out from the church tonight and the enemy is waiting just at the corner there, I'm sure you will change your plans. And you will strategize. And remember, Satan is never on vacation. So be sober. The lion is at the door. Just to tell you, the word sober here means be lucid. You know, have a sound mind. Moderate. Balanced Christian. Mentally under control. Restrained. Think straight. That's the meaning of the word sober. Keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Don't get distracted. Oh, there are many distractions in this world. Come to us. Come here. But keep looking. So be alert. Vigilant means be watchful. So no sin is too small. My dear friends, instead of giving an accolade or a kiss to the devil, you better submit, fall into the hands of the mighty God. So he promised to keep you and to protect you. So many promises. I could have read many for you, but I'm sure you know them. Number five. Look at it, verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, use all your mighty weapons of God, all the mighty weapons of God, offensive and defensive. We can give you a list. It's easy to find the list throughout the Bible. So resist the devil, James chapter 4, verse 7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's good news, don't you think so? The devil, Satan, is resistible. He's not irresistible. He's resistible. And you exercise, look at the verse 9. Who resists steadfast in the faith? Again, faith. Faith. 1 John 5:4. Your faith conquers. And exercise faith. I don't know anything about lions. I have seen them. I'm from Africa, but we don't have lions in the streets. And I've seen them like you in a zoo. But I read that a lion can never be tamed. Don't be deceived. One day he can be very kind. You could put your whole head in his mouth. But the next day you can be good lunch for him. Nobody plays with a lion. So that's the point here. So resist him, how? With the word of Christ. When Christ was tempted, Matthew 4, Luke chapter 4, it is written, it is written. How is the Bible called in Ephesians chapter 6? The sword of the Spirit. You resist with the sword of the Spirit. Not man's opinion or imagination or speculation or ideology, with the sword of the Spirit. So the sword is the word of God. And never give place to the devil. Flee, flee as Joseph did. Run away. You know, sometimes I say to myself, God, give me running shoes. You know, speedy running shoes, spiritual speedy running shoes. I don't think they are sold in the market. But they are good shoes. They will help you to live the Christian life. My dear friends, before I close, do you hear the lion roaring now? Do you hear him? Unless you are deaf. He's always roaring to get your attention, to get your curiosity. Come and see. Come and see. And as soon as you get out from this house of prayer, he's at the door, like with Cain in Genesis chapter 4. He's there at the door. So never stop resisting, my dear friends. You could resist because the one in you is greater than the one in the world. So we are not alone. The verse, actually, verse 9, look at it. Verse 9 tells us that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So you are not, anything that you are experiencing, every attack that you are going to experience, somebody, a Christian somewhere in the world, has already experienced it and conquered. We are not alone. We have the example. That's why we have the scriptures. So many examples throughout the scriptures. But let me close. You have been very patient. Look at it. The number 6. I read it from verse 10 and verse 12. Do you see? Especially verse 12. And it says there, the last part, and testifying that this is the true grace of God, wherein ye stand. You stand in the grace of God. That is a great weapon to defeat the enemy, because our God is the God of all grace. And in that verse, verse 10, he called you. You see how what he called you to? To Christ Jesus, to an eternal glory. My dear friends, as we stand, you see, stand and stand. Unfortunately and sadly, many Christians in the church today are sitting on their hands. They are not standing. Can I urge you? Stand in the grace. And you see the qualities God, how God will help you. You will be perfect. Verse 10. You will be perfect. You will be established. You will be strengthened. You will be settled. Oh, so many things here. Satan may use people to lead you away from God, from services, but resist him. And he roars to scare us not to reach out the community. You know, I heard many excuses. People are saying, oh, it's dark. Nobody will listen. I heard, oh, we did it for so many years. Nobody came. It's a waste of time. It's never a waste of time. God has his time. So, excuses, excuses. My dear friends, abstain from all appearance of evil. And parents once invited their child to come with them to church, and the child didn't want. And they told him something I never forget. If you don't come with us to the church, you will only have the devil to talk to. If you remain at home, so come with us. Now, I told you to start our first heading. Be clothed with humility. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But I didn't tell you the rest of that verse. Romans 13, verse 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust thereof. Your adversary.